You're listening to the Toolstation Western League podcast with Ian Knuckles and Tom Hiscott.
Welcome, listeners, to episode 40 of the Toolstation Western League podcast with me, Ian Knuckles, and I'm delighted to welcome onto the line. It is the editor of the Toolstation Western League Bulletin. It's Mr. Tom Hiscott. Hello, Tom. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well, thanks. Nice to have a bit of sunshine eventually. But yeah, I'm doing all right. And you?
Yeah, I'm okay. We're nearly there, Tom.
We have nearly
finished the end of season 2023-24. We've concluded our league action. We've concluded our playoffs. And we've got one more job to look ahead to the Les Phillips Cup final. But we won't be doing that until much later in the podcast. On this week's podcast, we will be hearing from our triumphant playoff winning managers. I'll introduce them at the time, I think, because, you probably know that Falmouth and Brislington went up. But anyway, we hear from Andrew Westgarth and Lee Perks. There you go. That's about as good as it gets from me in terms of building tension. But I'll tell you what, if tension's your business, if you want a bit of drama, you could do a lot worse than hear the report from the Brislington Wincanton Town game. But we'll be doing that a bit later in the podcast. We'll also bring you a final look at all the league tables and the goal scorers as well. But we are going to kick off on Tuesday, the 30th of April, when anything was possible, certainly for these four sides. In the playoffs, in the Premier Division playoff semi-finals, Bridgewater United hosted Clevedon Town. And when we spoke about this game last week, Tom, I was sure that Bridgewater were going to have enough to get over the finishing line. But I was wrong, wasn't I? Not for the first time.
Indeed, yeah. The away side came out on top of a slender 1-0 victory for Clevedon. I could be wrong, but this might have been the one I even predicted right. I'm not sure.
You got a direct hit 3 points.
I think it was their third 1-0 win over Bridgewater this season. So obviously that must be the way these sides are set up. Clevedon, as I say, getting a slender 1-0 victory, and it came pretty late on. To be fair, a 79th minute effort from Joe Teal, getting the visitors over the top in this one. So yeah, it's a close affair, and it was a corner put in at the back post where Teal was on hand to fire home. And a fourth clean sheet on the bounce for Clevedon on that occasion. So that was obviously a big part to their end of season upturn in form.
And our other semi-final was between Falmouth Town and Barnstable Town. And that game wasn't quite so close.
No, absolutely. That's probably one that did go with the, as predictors would have said, I think a 3-1 win for the second place side. Second beating fifth, and three goals to the good they were at one stage. So pretty comfortable evening for the Devonians. It was Luke Brabin firing them ahead after about 15 minutes or so, and then Oscar Massey, he's another brilliant season. He scored just before half time to make it 2-0, so that put a bit of a gap between the sides. And then it was Reuben Wilson making it 3-0 after with about 20 minutes left. So Falmouth easing into the final, and another big crowd on Tuesday night, 480 down there to will them on.
Now we'll take a look at the playoff semi-final that I was at, Radstock Town against Brislington. And I think that the home fans had every reason to be optimistic going into this game, but Bris had other ideas.
They did. Another away winner in the playoffs. I don't think we saw this one coming. So seventh beating second. So a slight surprise, you would say. Obviously, Brislington came into the season on the back of winning last year's title, so they had a big gap to fill. But they didn't quite live up to those standards, did they? But to win on Tuesday was a pretty good going, and it was another side that won pretty late on. Dean Griffiths scoring for the away side, and in fact they'd obviously met pretty recently. I think it was a week previously where Radstock had come out 2-1 winners. So for Bris to have overturned that in the space of a week is, some going. And all credit to them for that.
What can I say about our other game, our other semi-final game? Wincanton Town against Wells City. And Tom is going to take you listeners through the action. This was a game that, of course, you can imagine. There's me stood in the, we call it the pouring rain, but there was rain at Radstock. And I was watching a very tense, nervy, edgy affair sort of being played out in front of my eyes. Every single time I looked at my social media, score was different. And I mean every single time. Right, Tom, take it away.
Oh, I don't know where to start. I think I, adding to the drama, I sort of texted you on Tuesday evening and sort of said, did either of us predict the final outcome in this one? And surprisingly enough, neither of us got it quite correct. It was a 6-4 win for Wincanton over Wales in a playoff semi-final. So yes, certainly not a tense affair, this one. It was goals galore, wasn't it? And it was, I suppose, when they finished 1 point apart, didn't they, at the end of a 42-game season. So we shouldn't be surprised that there wasn't too much to pick between them. But yeah, Wales away from home, storming into a 3-1 lead after only 15 minutes. So an incredible start. Steve Murray scoring the opener after 6 minutes before Wincanton had, in fact, hit back through Sam Hodges. That made it 1-1 after only 8 minutes. So that was probably a sign of things to come. Both sides finding the back of the net with some ease. And then it was Tom Diamond heading Wales back in front before Murray struck again. So that, as I say, that was 3-1 after a quarter of an hour. But the game did actually have a quiet period for quite a while, from the 15-minute to about the hour mark. So it stayed 3-1. So probably not quite predicting what was to come. But an incredible final half hour. All changed, really, with Tom Jarvis slotting home a penalty, getting Wincanton back into the game. And that seemed to spur them on. It was then Connor Williams who really took over the game. He was on hand to assist Jarvis and then scored again himself to make it 4-3 in Wincanton's favour. So all of a sudden, I think there was about a space of 5 minutes, those three goals that came. So the game had completely turned on its head. 4-3, the home side in front. It was, and then the Jamie Thompson goal made it 5-3. I'm struggling to keep up even myself, and I'm just reading it off a piece of paper. But there we go. It was Murray scoring his hat-trick goal, getting Wales back into it. So that made it 5-4. But it was, there was a 10th goal, of course, but that did go in Wincanton's favour. Lewis Townsend crashing home, a pretty late header to put them 6-4 ahead. And they did hold on from there on out. So I don't know if I've managed to tell that story succinctly enough, but there we go. There was 10 goals. 6 of them went in Wincanton's favour. Epic comeback. Epic semi-final.
It was truly epic there. A very strong finish in the final furlong there from Wincanton Town. Saw them book their place in the in the playoff final. Thank you very much. Those playoff finals, of course, were played on Saturday, the 4th of May. Now, we'll kick off in the Premier Division, where Falmouth Town were taking on Clevedon Town. And obviously, Falmouth at home, we know the size of their following. I can tell you from, well, if social media is to be believed, and in these days of post-truth, and Elon Musk, why isn't it? But 973, we believe, were at Falmouth Town on for finals day. And the home fans will have gone home happy, Tom.
Yeah, they will have. Yeah, absolutely. A 2-0 win for the hosts, taking them up to the Southern League. Obviously, we know Falmouth have had a pretty brilliant season. League form's been pretty good throughout. Nice second half charge. There was obviously had an excellent run in the VARs as well. And it was Oscar Massey, who I mentioned earlier, obviously, scoring in the semi. And it was him who gave them an absolutely dream start, putting Falmouth in front inside the second minute. So, brilliant opening to the game for the hosts. And it was then finally put to bed in around the 70th minute or so. Luke Barner slotting home, made it 2-0, and that was assisted by Massey. So, big influence on the game, and they held out from there. So a 2-0 win, 13th consecutive home win for them. I think obviously we talk about the big crowds. I don't think that can be a bad thing for them. And it's they who will join Helston in gaining a step up at the end of a brilliant season.
Well, of course, we couldn't let Falmouth leave the Tool Station Western League without one last interview with their manager, Andrew Westgarth. He's been one of the most entertaining and insightful managers that we've had on in the last couple of seasons. So I shall certainly be sorry to see him go. And I started my conversation with Andrew by congratulating him on that promotion.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, it's been been a great week. You know, the playoffs was a great way to finish the season, and you couldn't have asked for any more. Saturday was just a special day for our club, and you know, just been great since. You know,
I mean, obviously the result was what you wanted, but what did you make of your performance against Clevedon?
Well, we've done the job to me. 2-0 clean sheet, which is what we've been built on. You know, I've been second to none. We scored a goal really early, which settled us down. Oscar Massey, you know, he signed to try and get us to the Southern League, and you know, he set us on our way. And then we just sort the game out, really. And you know, it's always nervy, those sort of games, because there's so much riding on it. It probably wasn't a classic. You know, the pitches have turned from puddings to rock hard overnight, and you know, a little bit of a breeze, and you know, for us to score with like 15 to go, the second goal, you're almost there. So you know, again, a little bit nervy the last 15, because you always think what if, but you know, overall I think we can be really pleased with our efforts, and yeah, it was a great performance.
Obviously one of the features of Falmouth Town is the incredible home support that you have, and I guess, you know, hosting the playoff final must have been a great advantage for you, but also did you and the players feel that weight of expectation?
To answer your first question, the support that we get, you know, having home advantage was massive. You know, it's always a challenge. I suppose you've got to look at it last year where, you know, Solash had to go to Bristol Manor Farm, and you know, that in itself was a daunting task. So for us to have home advantage was so important to us, and you know, the crowd was massive, the noise, the volume, but just, you know, the weight of expectation, I suppose not really, because you know, without giving it the big one, you know, we've had so many big games this season, the support is there week in, week out, so you know, we knew the importance of the game, but you know, from the fans, you know, they support us through thick and thin. You know, when we had the disappointment of Houston, when we lost to Blaisley away, I remember, you know, moments like that stick with me forever. You know, the response that we had and the support, you know, that spurred us on. We went on a great run from that, actually. So yeah, the crowd was amazing on Saturday, and you know, we had a pitch invasion with all the kids and the future generation, and it was just a special moment. And yeah, it was just incredible support.
I mean, it has been a phenomenal season for you, and I think most of us, you know, were really taken by your heroics in the FA VAR. So the fact that you've got something to show for this season is only right, it's only fair. But obviously there have been some setbacks, and you mentioned, you know, a couple of them there. Did that ever play on your mind? Did you ever fear the worst going into the playoffs?
No, not at all, really, but, you know, disappointment's a part of football, really, and you can't dwell on it too long. You know, I've been doing this job long enough to know now, you know, they'll eat you up inside if you overthink defeats, or you know, you get dragged down by it. And you know, I had total belief in the squad, and you've only got to look at our previous games and our records. You know, we've proven this season, you know, our results against the top five and top six have been really good this year, and you know, we went into it full of confidence. And you know, obviously the Barnstaple game was a great night under lights, great crowd again. It's been a dominant display. To win 3-1 was great, and going into the Clevedon game, you've got to give every team respect. But you know, we knew that going into that game, we played Clevedon four times. You know, they've not even scored a goal against us. So you know, we knew that we were going into it full of confidence, and you know, that confidence that showed on Saturday again. So you know, five games against Clevedon in the Western League, not to concede a goal or lose a game is pretty impressive.
Now, you mentioned a couple of your opponents over the course of this season in that answer. And I just wonder, from you, if you think about next season, which sides do you think will go well in the Western League?
It's pretty hard to tell, isn't it? Because, you know, I suppose if you look at it from this season, nobody gave us and Clevedon a chance. We probably weren't even spoken about. I think Clevedon come 12th last year, maybe. You know, what a season they had. So, but you never really know how the likes of Bridgewater, Barnstaple, how they're going to bounce back. Obviously, Barnstaple going to have a new manager for next season, and then you're going to get a few surprise packages. You know, Blaisley have had a season in the league. You never know how they're going to do. Obviously, you've got the guys promoted from the Division 1 West, the East, and then obviously the Western one. So, it's really, really hard to tell, isn't it? You'll probably get the usual suspects out there again. I'll be amazed if Buckland aren't in and around it. You know, they'll be disappointed with their season, I'm sure. Sheffield Mallet, who I thought, you know, they actually done the double over us, you know, and I thought they were really good, especially up at Sheffield. They give us a real hiding. So, you know, you know, the top six, I'm sure we'll take care of itself, and I'm sure you'll get a few surprise packages.
Now, we're talking like this season's over, for most of us it is, but actually you've still got a County Cup final to play, haven't you?
We have, yeah. We got St Austell on Sunday, and what should have been played on Easter Monday has now been played on the last Sunday of the season. So, you know, a competition that we hold, you know, in high regards. You know, the Cornwall Senior Cup down here is our FA Cup, isn't it? It's, you know, so many teams have had the privilege of winning it, you know, over the years, like family sides event, you know. So, you know, for us to try and win it again would be great.
So has that presented you with a bit of a problem then? Have you had to keep the boys out of the pub this week?
Nah, not really. The boys are good. Like, you know, they're fully focused. We've got our end of season trip in Ibiza straight after, so we'll do our celebrating hopefully there.
Because, I mean, to be fair, what a way to sign off this season that would be, wouldn't it? I mean, if the boys are, and I'm sure that they are, behaving themselves, the fact that you've got promotion, if you can win that County Cup, then that really will be a celebration for not just you and your players, but for everybody at the club.
Yeah, definitely. And we said that, you know, how do you measure success and the fine margins of football? We could have easily have fallen short at the playoffs. You know, we could fall short at the Senior Cup, and then you look at it and you go, you know, is that a disappointing season? But, you know, obviously we were successful in the playoffs. You know, and if we can win the Senior Cup, you know, a double plus the quarterfinal of the FA Vaz, you know, an incredible season.
Absolutely. Now, have you already started for planning for life in the Southern League?
It's always difficult to plan for something you don't know if you're actually going to be in it. So, you know, up till Saturday, I didn't know what division we were going to be in. So, you know, my phone's been quite busy, as you probably can imagine, since then. And, you know, I suppose the first thing is speaking to my players, where I'd probably have to say we're probably better equipped and better prepared to go into the Southern League than we were probably into the Western League, because, you know, we lost a lot of players when we won the treble going into the Western League. You know, a lot of players couldn't commit or retired or moved on. And I probably lost about 8 or 9 players. Plus, then obviously, you know, we weren't used to travelling, so we had to deal with that. Whereas I think this year everyone's pretty much committed to next season. I know a lot can change between now and the season, but start of next season, sorry. But, you know, we're used to travelling as a club. I think we're in a great position. So, you know, I think there'll be a lot of movement. I'm sure there will, you know, obviously with the likes of Truro, Taunton, Parkway, once they start doing their business, I'm sure it'll filter down. So, you know, I'll just plan accordingly, really. So, you know, it's something to look forward to. And, you know, there's no rest for a manager, I guess, is there? So, just take each week as it comes.
One final word from you, Andrew, and that really is about what promotion means to the fans and the volunteers at Falmouth Town.
Well, the first thing is history. You know, this great club has never played Southern League football, and, you know, when Falmouth won the league 8 years in a row back in the 70s, for whatever reason, they never took promotion to the Southern League. You know, for us to be able to do that is great. And you know, the fans, as much as the players, want to be going to different grounds, competing against the best or better teams. So, you know, it's just another exciting chapter in this great club. So, yeah, we're all really looking forward to it.
Absolutely excellent. Andrew, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us on the podcast. You know, if anything is tinged with sadness, is that I won't get the opportunity to talk to you next season, but I do wish you and everybody at the club the very, very best for the future.
Yeah, thank you. I hope we've left our mark. Like when we left the Flintshire League, you know, it was always sad to leave, but I think we made a few friends there, and likewise with the Western League. You know, we weren't in it very long, 2 years, but, you know, hopefully we've left a good impression and, like I said, made some friends over the way, and hopefully we can do the same in the Southern League.
And my thanks to Andrew for his time. Now, before we go on to the First Division playoff, Tom, I think you've got a message from our sponsor.
Whatever the job, with over 25,000 products in stock and ready to go, you can click, collect and conquer at Toolstation.
Now, we will turn our attention to Wincanton Town, where the visitors were Brislington. This was our First Division playoff. Another healthy crowd, 326 people saw this one, Tom, and they saw a 5-goal thriller.
Yeah, I mean, Wincanton don't really do boring games, do they, it seems. Unfortunately for them, I think they would have been more than happy to claim a 1-0 win. But on Saturday for them, it was, unfortunately, a 2-3 defeat they suffered at the hand of Brissington. So it is Briz, the away side. Two away wins in playoff games, incredible effort from them. A come-from-behind victory to take them up to the Premier Division. So obviously, having come through that thriller in midweek where they came from behind, they changed tack this time, Wincanton, and decided to go ahead from the pretty early stages. Jamie Thompson volleying them in front after 4 minutes. And it was then a penalty midway through the first half from Tom Jarvis, which doubled their advantage. So it looked at that stage like they were, in good shape to gain that promotion spot. But Brissington had other ideas, and it was the bench that made the impact that Lee Perks would have hoped for. Ashley Kington firing home a free kick on the hour mark just after he'd come on. To get them back into the game. And then it was another substitute. 15 minutes later, Joe McLennan levelling the scores, making it 2-2 and setting up a dream finale for the neutral. Obviously, the hosts will have been licking their wounds, having let go of that two-goal advantage. And unfortunately for them, it was Brissington who managed to gain that final advantage and score the fifth goal. Lewis Dunn scoring 2 minutes into stoppage time, so it was dramatic until the last. And as I say, Lee Perks' side will now take their place in the Premier Division next season.
What a truly breathtaking final. I think that's what the playoffs are all about. I think you had it absolutely right there, Tom, that, you know, Brissington, I mean, what a way to get promoted this season. You know, winning away twice in the playoffs is no mean feat, but to come from behind in the way that they did against Wincanton was truly remarkable. So I thought, really, we obviously have to get Lee Perks back on the podcast to reflect on that incredible game and what's been a truly remarkable season for him and his side. And we started off by talking about that result and what a way to get promotion.
Yeah, we are come the end, to be honest with you. It was, it was a really good game if you're a new chalk watching it. But I do massively feel for Chris and the Wincanton lot, to be honest with you, because first half we were right under the cosh with it. They played well, and you know we let a goal go in after sort of 5 minutes, and then I think it was about 25 minutes we were 2-0 down, and we just could not get going the first half. They pinned us in, they had the long throw, you know, everything was direct, and we just couldn't get up our half. We just looked lethargic, we looked leggy, and in fairness we looked dead and buried.
So what on earth did you do at half time?
Well, there were two ways I could have went in and said to them, I mean, obviously it was a final, so I needed to go in to try and get them going, not to go mad at them. I could, you know, if it had been a league game, I probably would have went mad at them, but we only have 45 minutes left of the season to get us promoted, so it was just a case of going in and, you know, to tell them that I believed in them, they got to believe in themselves. We needed to go out. We couldn't let Wincanton get the third goal because that would have just killed us. We needed to get the next goal, and then obviously the momentum would have just swung with us a little bit. I didn't make any changes at halftime. I let it go for another sort of 10-15 minutes, which we were a little bit better, but we still didn't get a foothold in the game. And then I think on sort of 70 minutes or whatever it was, I had to make a change. I made a couple of subs. We changed the formation, and straight away we scored a goal from a free kick. And then from that sort of minute onwards, the momentum swung with us, and I had to make another change as well through injury, which didn't really make a lot of difference to the formation. But we got that second goal, and I think, you know, Wincanton, the writing was on the wall a little bit, and, you know, the momentum went with us, and we managed to get the winner in injury time, which was, as you can imagine, the scenes was fantastic.
I mean, have you ever been involved in a game like that before? Because it sounds to me like for, you know, well, more than an hour, you were dead and buried.
Well, the only game what comes to mind was another cup game we had against Bristol Telephones back last season, a Les Phillips Cup, I think it was, when we were 4-0 down at half-time and we managed to win that game 5-4. So that's the only one I can say, you know, it's on par with, but, you know, that was a Les Phillips and nothing, you know, no disrespect to Les Phillips. This was a much important game. This was for us to get back into the Premier the Premier Division of the Tool Station. So, yeah, I mean, like I say, I mean, at halftime, we just needed just to rally them and get us going, and, you know, that's what happened. And, you know, these playoff games, someone's got to win, someone's got to lose. And, you know, like I said, I do feel for Chris. He's I think this is the third time Wincanton's been in the playoffs. And they've just managed to come up short again. And I believe it or not, I was gutted for him. But obviously, we wanted to win. And probably the best way to win, being 2-0 down and getting it back to 3-2 with, you know, no time to go, is, you know, what cup finals are made of, I suppose.
I mean, what were the celebrations like? I know it sounds like a bit of a daft question, really, but there's lots of people who are fascinated to know, given how you went about getting that result, you must have, I mean, that must have been...
Yeah, I mean, obviously they were celebrating when they scored, which is the right thing to do. You know, and no doubt Chris probably thought to himself at halftime. He probably said to their lads at halftime, you know, we're going to come out. We had to come out with a different attitude. We didn't, in fairness, straight away. But like I said, when we made the changes, but when obviously we get the first goal, you know, we can't really celebrate then. We're just trying to get the ball out the back of the net, get it back on the spot as quick as we can, because we needed to get the second goal. But the second goal, even though we were on top, we just couldn't get it. We were having, you know, we were in our 18-yard box, there was goal mouth scrambles, there were shots going in, but just couldn't get that second goal at that time. And then, you know, one little bit of magic from one of our players, Maka, you know, after the shot, and in fairness, it sort of bobbled over the keeper to get it back to 2-0. And then obviously there was, you know, we were all running on the pitch then, as you do, and, you know, you're just getting caught up with the emotion of it. And, you know, I was just saying to my assistant, this won't go to penalties. I think someone will win it, and I think it's going to be us. And then, you know, 5 minutes later, or whatever it was, into injury time, you know, I think there was 6 minutes injury time, and, you know, the board went up, and then we managed to get the third. And then obviously all the players, some of the fans ran on the pitch, and, you know, it's just everybody just got carried away with it. And then obviously the final whistle went, I went up and shook, you know, their players and their managers and assistants' hand, and just said, you know, unlucky. And, you know, we just obviously went on and celebrated them in their in the changing rooms. And then we weren't too bad in their clubhouse. We showed a bit of show a bit of respect. And obviously we went back to our club then and celebrated on through the night, yeah.
Brilliant.
As you
Brilliant
do.
Stuff. I mean, one of the things that fascinates me about these playoff games, they're one-off matches. And, of course, you know, if you had the choice, you'd always want to be playing at home, not least because you know the facilities, and also it's obviously a lot more convenient for your own spectators to get to. But I wonder whether the burden of having these games at your home, being the home team, adds perhaps a bit of pressure in a way that maybe when you thought, you know, you were dead and buried, it was an opportunity to just sort of go out there for your boys and express themselves.
Yeah, I think being, you know, everyone wanted to try and finish as high as you can to try and get your home draw, especially the final, try and get it at home. Obviously, we knew we finished where we finished. We couldn't have a home draw. We were, you know, the last position of the playoffs. So we knew if we had to go to Radstock and beat them, which we did. And then obviously we knew, well, one stage we thought we were playing Wales because Wales were winning, I think, against Wincanton at halftime. And then four times, someone's telling, you know, at our Radstock game, someone's telling me that Wincanton turned it around, it was 6-4. So we knew we had to go to Wincanton and play. And no doubt they wanted to play there as well. You know, it is a bit of a quirky ground, really. You know, it's quite small. The surface is not the best. I know they've done a lot of work to it with their drainage. But I think that probably helped them the first half. You know, there was a big crowd there. You know, there was probably more Wincanton people watching and got behind them. And they come at us straight away from the first whistle. We just couldn't, they just would not let us settle. We couldn't get a foothold in the game. So I do think that, you know, the home advantage probably did work in their favours for 70 minutes. But then for some reason we just, you know, we got that first goal, and, you know, the belief was always there. And then we obviously got the second goal, but, you know, and then obviously we got the third one, like, you know, late on, which there was no time for them to come back. They were gone. But get back to your question, yeah, I think, you know, everyone would like to have a, you know, a home draw, but we've done it the hard way. We finished last. We have had two away games in the playoffs against two good sides, and we managed to get our foot over the line to get back to the Tool Station Premier League.
Because I saw your game at Radstock, and I was very impressed
with the performance. I wasn't particularly impressed with the game. I don't think it was a game that will live long in the memory. But actually, the way that you, your team conducted themselves in terms of, you know, it was a very efficient performance. I felt you really, you didn't let Radstock settle in that game. You looked in control on the night, and I guess that must have been a big bonus for you. You must have got a huge amount of confidence going into the final off the back of that performance.
Well, we did, because, I mean, a week before, we actually played Radstock. We played them in the league on a Tuesday night at Radstock, which we lost the game 2-1. And in fact, there wasn't a lot riding on the game for us, because we knew where we were going to end up. I think Radstock were already runners-up at that stage. So it's just a bit of a fixture we had to fill, obviously. And, you know, it gave us the incentive when we lost to go back out there on the Tuesday to, well, we knew we had to win to progress into the final. And, you know, if you were there as well, I mean, I think first half we were very good without scoring. Second half, I think Radstock, you know, were better and come at us a little bit more. But I think the last 15 minutes when we scored, or whenever it was, I can't remember now, but I know it was quite late on. You know, I personally think we deserve to win that game. But yeah, again, Radstock finished second, very, very good side. You know, there's some good sides in that Division 1, but obviously someone's had to go up for the playoffs, and it was us. But, you know, we did slip up earlier on in April. You know, we lost a few games. We always knew we were going to try and get into that playoffs. That was the only way we can do it, with Porter's Ed winning it. And people always say, I mean, this is the first time I've been involved in a playoff. People always say, you know, to win a playoff final is the best way to go up. But trust me, when you're 2-0 down at halftime, you don't think you're going to win. It's not the best way. But, you know, it's the way we've done it to get us back to where we obviously where we want to be. It was amazing for us. Everyone at the club is amazing. Everyone involved, brilliant.
Because your promotion and the manner of it does feel to me like a metaphor for your season. So, you know, last season, obviously, you had the, you know, the highs of winning the title, and you went on an incredible run of form, and we've talked about that many times. But this season, for whatever reason, you know, you haven't hit those heights. You found yourself just about making it into the playoffs. I mean, effectively, because two of the sides that finished above you weren't eligible to come.
Correct, yeah.
You've gone to the team, the only side that's really, on paper at least, challenged Portishead for the title, Radstock, who finished second. And then you go away from home, and in the most dramatic fashion, you manage to win, you know, in the dying embers of the game. If they made this into a Hollywood film, Lee, nobody would believe it, would they?
No, to be honest with you, no. I mean, look, we've had to... It's been a long season, this one, with the weather and all the rest of it. But, I mean, last year, like you say, we won it at Canter. And then we were told, you know, in 11th hour that we couldn't go up for obvious reasons. So we had to go again. We all knew, everyone, the players, and I think everyone knew it was going to be harder this year, which it turned out to be. And like you just said, we finished 7th. There was two teams that couldn't progress into the Premier Division. Which we knew that sort of earlier on in the season anyway. So we you know, if we couldn't finish second, we had to know we had to finish 7th to get into the playoffs. And, you know, I'm not going to go above our station, but I personally think us and Porter's Ed were the best two teams in that league. I know it didn't work out that way in the actual position of the league, but, you know, we deservedly so. We've gone up for the playoffs, and we beat the best teams in the playoffs, they say. Obviously, Wincanton beat us in the league as well. Radstock actually beat us in the league. But we, you know, when we needed to win, we managed to dig in. And for some reason, I don't know why or how it happened, but we managed to get the ball over the line to put us into the Premier Division again.
One final word, I think, for the volunteers and supporters, and perhaps the players as well. It's been a fantastic achievement this season for you to get promotion, obviously, not least in the manner that we've been discussing in this interview. But what does it mean to people at Brislington, particularly, I guess, those people who are involved with the club when, you know, the decision was taken to come down a league? What
does it mean? Well, I mean, obviously we've got a committee. We're not run by a big committee. We're not run by a lot of volunteers, but... you know, I don't want to keep repeating it and saying the reason, everyone knows, well, you know, the reason why we've done it, it was either we had to do it or the club wouldn't be able to sustain it in the Premier. You know, there's a lot of people shot us down, a lot of people give us a lot of stick, and I can accept that. But, you know, until people realise why we've done it, and, you know, it's taken us two seasons to get back up there, and within them two seasons, we've got more people on the committee, we've got more volunteers. You know, we needed to get more people involved in the football club to help us in any way we can. And like you say, all the players, all the volunteers, the committee members, the people behind the bar, everyone, we've all pulled in the right direction over the last couple of seasons to get this club. I'm not just saying it because I'm the manager of the football club, but Brislington needed to be back into the Premier League. We've got a history. You know, we're one of the longest serving teams in the Western League, and now we're back, and hopefully we're all pulling in the right direction to kick on in, you know, just sustain ourselves in the Premier League next season.
You and I have done quite a few interviews over the years, and I always used to enjoy talking to you in the Premier Division because even against the bigger sides, you were always a real thorn in their side. Brislington's never been an easy place for anybody to go, and it gave birth to the analogy. I know different analogies are used by different broadcasters at the top of the game, but you know, no matter how big the sides are or where they're from, the real leveller, the real test was how could they get on at Brislington on a cold Tuesday night, and I guess next season we're going to find out, Lee.
Like I say, when we were there for, you know, before, we did struggle, but we always come up trumps against the big sides. What come to us, we always give a performance. We just come unstuck really against the lesser sides. That's football. But like I say, we're back there now. I think everyone, you know, after Saturday's celebrations, we're all up for it. We're all up for it before the game, and then we're all up for it after the game. But you know, it's going to be a quick turnaround again. There's no sort of us. You know, we'll have a couple of weeks off, and then obviously the phone call starts again, and then we go again, and you know, just see what takes us and where we can go next year.
And my thanks to Lee for his time. Right then, Tom, we will take a look at the league tables, I think. Obviously, you know, the serious action has been concluded. I know we've had a few other games going on just to wrap the season up. But do you want to take us through the top of the Premier Division?
Yeah, obviously, we now know who the sides that will go up and whatnot are. But we do have final tables, quite a few league games have taken place over the last, since we last spoke, last 7 or 8 days. I know Millbrook and Oldham will have, got to know each other quite well. A couple of games in the space of 3 days to end their seasons against one another. But yes, Helston sitting pretty at the top of the Prem, 34 games played. That is the case with everybody now, which is nice. They got 80 points. So Helston, top of the pops. You then got Falmouth, who did finish second and obviously gained that playoff promotion spot. They finished on 76 points, so 4 back from Helston. You then had Bridgewater on 72, Clevedon on 70, Barnstaple, our other playoff side, of course, they finished on 67, and a couple of other sides who reached the 60-point mark. Buckland on 61 in sixth place, and then Shepton Mallet also had a great season, finishing in seventh with 60 points.
And at the other end of the table, we've got Millbrook. They finished in 18th with 7 points. Welton Rovers were in 17th. They had 17 points. And then Oldland Abertonians managed to finish the season strongly on 23 points. So they've moved away. And then there was quite a gap, 9-point gap between Oldland and Wellington. That was the bottom of the Premier Division. And what are we looking at in terms of the top of the First Division, Tom?
Well, obviously, we had Portishead's amazing season, didn't we? 42 games played. They won 31 of those. An incredible goal difference of 93, and they reached 99 points, just falling short of the three-figure mark. They were finished the season pretty comfortably on top, to be fair. Radstock in second, 8 points back, 91 points from their 42 games. You then had Bitten in third, 42 games played, of course, 89 points for them. Wincanton on 85, Wells on 84, Cribbs Reserves finished with 83 points, and Brislington, who eventually gained that promotion spot, finished with 80 points. So I think for the top seven to all finish with more than 80 points is pretty incredible. And it was Portishead and Brislington who will take their place in the Premier Division next term.
And the bottom of the First Division, Bishop Sutton. They were in 22nd place with only 3 points, a season to forget for them. But I speak with some knowledge of this type of occurrence, because as a long-suffering Devizes Town fan, I'm sure that Bishop Sutton will come back stronger for it in the future. Cheddar are in 21st. They had 25 points. And then Gillingham finished in 20th. They got 34 points, 3 points behind Warminster Town. And there's, of course, as the regulations state, that's the bottom three are liable for relegation. We will see how many the FA wish to take, but I think certainly Bishop Sutton and quite possibly Cheddar, they may well find themselves relegated this season. We wait to see. Right then, that's the depressing bit. Let's talk about the bit that we all love. We all love the strikers. We love the goal scorers, Tom. Tell us about our hot shots.
Okay, so yeah, assuming all the stats and whatnot are correct from the FA full-time website, which is where this information is gleaned from, I try and update it as best I can in if I see sort of goals that haven't been registered on there. But in all competitions we'll start with, so this is obviously including cup ties and whatnot. You've got Even Feltham of Portishead across both divisions. This is Even Feltham of Portishead on 55 goals. So, pretty remarkable campaign from him. Plenty of hat tricks. And I don't know where his future lies. But if he's with Portishead again next year, that'll be fascinating to see how he gets on in the Prem. We've got Jared Lewington of Buckland with 36 goals, joint with Harry Warwick of Wales in second spot. You've then got Matt Garner and plenty of headers among his 34 for Wincanton. And then another chap who reached 30, we've got Jack Thorne of Bridgewater. He got 31 goals in all comps. And then looking at the individual, so for league goals in the Premier, we had Jared Lewington of Buckland on 31. Oscar Massey, who finished the season really strongly for Falmouth, with 26. Thorne of Bridgewater with 25. And then you had Ryan Richards, always dependable for Torpoint. He had 24 league goals. And then in the first, it was obviously Ethan Felton leading the way. 52 league goals helping propel them to the title. You then had Matt Garner of Wincanton with 32, Warwick of Wells with 31. You then had Liam Winter playing for a side in mid-table. Middlesoy got 26, so that's a great effort from him. And Louis Snailham of Shirehampton got 25.
Excellent stuff. Now, one final piece, I guess, of business for us to discuss is the League Cup final, the Les Phillips Cup final, which is coming up on Sunday, the 12th of May. It's being played at Tiverton Town. And the two sides that are competing in this year's final are Shepton Mallet and Barnstable Town. Now then, Tom, for the last couple of months of this season, you and I have been doing some score predictions. And although I flirted briefly with a fight back, actually, you have an unassailable lead. You have, over the games that we have predicted, you've scored 17 points compared to my paltry 13. So you are definitely the king of the castle. That we're using, listeners, I mean, you, regular listener of the podcast, you'll know, but basically we're predicting it. If we get it absolutely right, that's 3 points. If we pick the winner, or the outcome, without being absolutely correct, then we get 1 point. And if you get it wrong, you don't get anything. There's been about 13 matches that Tom and I have predicted, because some of them, of course, have fallen foul of the weather. But there's going to be one last game, Tom. One last game. I'm tempted to say double or quits, but I'll probably lose that as well. We won't go down that road. You are the king of the castle. But Shepton Mallet against Barnstable Town. It's the Les Phillips Cup final. It's a one-off.
It is.
What do you think?
I will give Shepton a chance to obviously rewrite the wrongs from last year, where they suffered defeat in the final. And I will say this time around, they get the job done. I don't think it will be particularly high scoring, maybe. I don't know. Maybe the weather will bring the best out of them. I'll tell that back. Let's go for goals. We'll say that Shepton win by 3-2. We'll have a 5-goal thriller to bring the curtain down on a great season.
Well, I'll be Now, I do feel bad because I think there's been a number of occasions this season when I've bet against Shepton. And I have to say that they're one of those sides that I do like to keep a bit of an eye on. They're a lovely club. I've got some lovely people involved in the club. They finished the season really strongly. Normally, you know, you're the man who talks about form, but I have been really impressed with some of the results that they've got in the last couple of months. I think that there's a steely determination about them. I think they were here this time last season. It's the same ground. It's an opportunity to put right what once went wrong. And I think they're going to do it. And I say that because I've got a huge amount of respect for Barnstaple Town. I love their fans. They'll add a huge amount of colour and noise to the final. I'm sure it'll be an absolutely wonderful atmosphere at Tiverton on Sunday. Hopefully the weather, is suitable as well. But I think Shepton Mall are going to do it, and I think they're going to do it by 2-1. There we are.
Okie dokie.
Well, I'll be. Okay. Well, we're nearly there, Tom. We're nearly there.
We are.
We have been reviewing your excellent bulletin. Where can the listeners find that?
So that's on the TallStationLeague.com website. The final full bulletin of the season obviously came out on Sunday afternoon. On Bank Holiday Monday, following all the games that have taken place over the weekend, includes all those things we've discussed, such as tables and leading scorers and whatnot.
Thank you very much for your time and your work this week, Tom. And I look forward to catching up with you in the wake of that Les Phillips Cup final on next week's Tool Station. Western League.